We have a wonderful guest today. Before I introduce our guest, Keisha Dixon, a wonderful young lady, I just want to give a shout out to Bishop Henry Hearns. I told him that I would talk about his book, How Odds Even Through Grace. It's an excellent book. He has already introduced it to the Antelope Valley community, but I want to encourage you to go out and purchase How Odds Even Through Grace. It's a wonderful testimony and is transparency. And he is also the first Black mayor of Lancaster. So if you need any further information concerning Bishop Henry Hearns' book, you can call me or email me. Now, Keisha Dixon. Keisha Dixon has turned her trauma into triumph, and she is a servant leader. She is an activist for child safety, an advocate for mental health, healing, and self-care. She's a proud Army veteran, a military mom, a serial entrepreneur, and she's an international best author. She's going to talk to best-selling author. She's going to talk to you about her books that she's written, and she's a certified family and peer support. Keisha is on a passion to build a better self, family, community, and world, one dream at a time. Welcome, Keisha Dixon.
Hello, hello.
Yes, ma'am. I want you to be able to tell your story. You are a veteran.
Yes, I am.
Yes. And so what we're going to talk about today is basically how veterans, as women, you have to sometimes, because of your commitment to the military, you have to leave your family and you have to leave your children behind. And that happened to you, where you literally had to leave your daughter behind to go over to, where were you, in Iraq?
Yes.
Yes. And you had to go there. And so upon you going over there, the father of your child, you left your daughter with your mom in the care of your mom, and the father of your child actually went to your mom, took your daughter and kept her, and you had no idea, because the military had a concept of you don't disclose negative or impacting things to the soldiers while they're away at war. And right. So you had no idea that your daughter was not in the care of your mother until you got back to the States. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, that journey, it started 16 years ago. I was deployed to Iraq 3 days after my daughter's second birthday. Okay. And like you said, I had a family care plan in place because I was not married to the father and we did not live together. Yes. So I left my mother with legal guardianship of my daughter in my absence. So I left my mother with my daughter, my apartment, and access to my bank account. And there were some issues with the paperwork that I was given by the military that didn't allow my mother to get my daughter back when she was with her father. There was an issue with the stamp that was on my legal guardianship form. So that was a whole issue that I was not aware of until I returned, but it was not an immediate thing. So I returned from Iraq in November of 2005.
Okay.
And not knowing the situation that was going on, I got pregnant with my second child. And he was born in 2006. And by 2007, the relationship with me and the father was on and off for 6 years. But in 2007, it ended.
Yes.
So I was working. I'm working two, sometimes three jobs to take care of my kids by myself. And then we're going to fast forward to May of 2009, where I exited the military. And I had to leave a job that I loved because I didn't want any issues with custody again.
Yes.
So I got out of the military in May of 2009. And by October of 2009, I had turned to the courts so that the father and I can get a custody schedule put in place. Because I was being late for work, or I would give late notices for me not to be at work. So I got written up, and I didn't want to lose the job and be able to provide for my children. So I just turned to the court to get a custody schedule and put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, the father in turn got a restraining order against me. So I didn't see my kids for months.
Wow.
During this.
Oh, go ahead.
During this whole process, he has had 3 restraining orders against me. He has called Children's Services out to my home 6 times, and he even had me falsely imprisoned. And that's when the custody changed, and they had gave him full custody, and he was ordered for me to pay him child support. So going through this whole legal process and paying child support, I ended up homeless, paying child support, court fees, attorney's fees, and for therapy sessions. So I ended up homeless.
How does a soldier go through that without the military advocating for you?
Well, the military, they say that they don't get involved in personal issues. Like, family law for them is considered a personal issue. But when I was given the legal guardianship, they didn't provide the proper stamp on the paperwork. And that's what created this problem to where my case is now in the court for 11 years. And then the court orders that are being implemented are not being enforced. So now we have this case that's been in the court in Long Beach court for 11 years. And my time has been cut just consistently. I went from being a full-time parent to going to 50-50 custody, to getting a 2-2-3 schedule, to getting every other weekend, to getting 1 weekend a month, to a few hours a month, to when I have my last visit with my children was in July of 2016.
You mean to tell me you have not seen your kids in 5 years?
I've seen them like in passing, or if I'm able to get a basketball schedule, because my son, he's on a travel team, and the last game he had was in Arizona in December.
Wow.
So I flew from California to Arizona to see my son play a 45-minute game.
Does this happen often with military moms?
It happens often to military and civilians, because now... Yes.
Well, I went through that with a court custody battle, and the courts awarded custody to my husband because I didn't have the court date, and so I didn't know to show up to court. Mm. So I understand all of that. I've been through all of that, but I never was denied the right to see my kids. There's a lot of mothers out there that get the short end of the stick when it comes to custody or legal custody of their children. And so that's why your story was so touching to me, and I wanted you to be able to share it. You know, I didn't go into the military. I thought about it. I took the test and passed it, just like I took the test and passed it for to be a sheriff. But I think that once you serve the military like you did, you should not have gone through any of that. How did he get away with filing restraining orders against you?
Well, I mean, false reports are done all the time.
Yeah.
and that's what they were, false reports.
I've experienced that too.
Yeah, but even with the military, we do have a veterans court, but you have to meet a criteria. So if you don't have a drug and alcohol addiction, if you don't have a criminal conviction, and it's something else. Oh, your kids are not in foster care, you're denied. So you veterans fall into this deadly gap in veterans court.
Wow. Yeah. See, I didn't.
And then trying to
alcohol. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then trying to seek legal services. My income is too high because I am 100% disabled veteran. Like I have injuries from the top of my head to the soles of my feet.
Wow.
But because I receive 100% compensation, my income is deemed too high.
Yeah,
so
but
I can't receive any legal services.
Nobody's talking about the emotional hurt and pain either. You know what I'm
saying?
Right.
Because that's overshadowed by the stereotype and stigma. With me being a woman, being black, and being a veteran, they all mm-hmm. have negative stereotypes attached to them.
Yeah.
So once I come in that courtroom, you see me. And most people be like, well, where's her disabilities? I feel my disabilities every day. I'm feeling it right now in my back.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it right now in my knees and my feet and in my ankles right now, in my neck. But these are disabilities and injuries that no one can see with the naked eye. Unless you're looking at me and see that I can't fully turn my head because of a neck injury, a spinal cord injury that I have.
Yes. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say this. There's going to be a time when your kids get grown, because mm-hmm. that's what I did, and time will heal. Like the times that my kids were denied me and the things that I went through, they got grown.
Right.
You know, they grew up. And so then after they reach a certain age, they have the ability to do what they want to do. And nobody has that kind of control over them anymore. And that's what happened to me. And now I have a very good relationship with my children. My son and I are very close. In fact, I'm closer to him than he is to his father or his stepmom. And it's such a blessing how God will turn that thing for you. So where are you now? And what are you doing?
Oh, well, right now I am, I got my hands in a whole lot of different projects, from starting a nonprofit organization that focuses on the non-traditional military family. So that's the unmarried couples, single parents, divorced couples or divorcing, and same-sex couples.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of areas that those people are excluded from, because the military has been around for 246 years. It's traditional. It looks at the male as the head, his wife, and their children. And well, that's what everything outside of that is ignored. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, they just going by what God says. You know, I'm running for political office. I don't basically touch, you know, bases with that. But when it's brought to me, then I have to take a stand. I'm a conservative Democrat. I don't necessarily believe or embrace a lot of the platforms of the Democratic Party.
Our world.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel what you're saying, but what I'm saying is I'm not against people that want to do what they want to do with their life. They have that God-given right to do what they want to do. Yeah. So, you know, I understand how you're trying to advocate for them, and it's okay. I mean, if that's your choice, but my choice is this. I go with what God says. So you're advocating for all different situations
advocating for the families.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the other things that you're doing.
Well, with the nonprofit organization, we're focusing on non-traditional military families and multi-generational parenting families, because there are so many families being separated at the border and in the courtroom. And that stems back to, as far as I can see it, are Vietnam veterans, where a lot of the veterans were separated from their families when they returned from war. And so a lot of those issues with the families were overshadowed by protests of the Vietnam War, drugs, and Agent Orange. So instead of allowing history to repeat itself and families being separated and parents not being able to reunite with their children immediately rather than 20, 30 years later, work on that process now, because now the family law issue is being overshadowed by the continuous war. We've been in Iraq for nearly 20 years now. And now we just finished dealing with COVID, which is still lingering over our heads. And then the miseducation of PTSD.
Yes.
So there are a lot of things that overshadow. So rather than allowing this history to repeat itself, let's make the minor changes. And that's where we addressed the issues. A team of mothers and myself, we collaborated with Community Coalition and created the Reimagining Child Safety Demand Letter. And in this letter, we address the issues that we are facing in court. And we've combined all of our experiences to create this letter and have these issues addressed so that the changes can be made. Like in my situation, it was a matter of a stamp on the paperwork.
Yeah.
So let's change the stamp or either change the paperwork.
Yeah.
And there's so many like minute changes that can be made, but yet save families and people's lives for the long run.
I would like to get involved with that. In my case, it was simply, I just didn't have the date to go to court. I missed the court date. And so the judge, you know, it seemed like he would say, where's the mom? Go get her and bring her to court. I thank you because my heart goes out to those kids that are separated from their parents at the border. Shame on the United States of America for doing that. I mean, it's just incredulous. What about your books? I want to talk about your books.
Okay. Well, my first book, it was published in 2017, and it is called Life After War. Yes, You Can. And It's a self-help book where I provide tips on what I've used to allow myself to grow despite the situation that I've been in for the last 16 years.
Okay.
I've actually used that to propel me and push me forward to go from homeless to a homeowner and being able to resign from my job. And I've been married for, we're in June. August will be 6 years.
Awesome.
I became a full-time student and got my bachelor's degree in business.
Awesome.
And now I'm up to 5 of the 7 businesses that I plan to, you know, venture out on.
Awesome. How can people contact you?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn at Keisha Dixon. I'm also on Instagram at she_deserves_collection. I'm on Facebook at She Deserves Collection. I have a website. It is www.kdunlimited.com. And my email, if anyone wants to contact me, or they can contact you as well for the Reimagining Demand Letter.
Okay.
My email address is admin@kdunlimited.com. And the books, they're also, I have 2 books. So it's Life After War, Yes You Can. And I'm a co-author for a book called Bruised But Still Beautiful. And they're both available on Amazon.
Awesome. Wow. I would love to get with you and actually do a panel discussion in the near future. Maybe before the summer is over, we can actually have a Zoom panel discussion and talk more about advocating for militaries, for parents that have been separated from their children for whatever reason. I appreciate you. I appreciate your story. And I've got to get those books. I know I bought some t-shirts from you. You also have some gear, you know, and those I bought because my dad was a veteran. So many of my family, my uncles were, my nephew, was a veteran, cousins, been all in the military. I have a military family.
Okay.
So I appreciate you. Thank you for your time. And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Be blessed.
You too.
If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or suggestions, you can forward all of that to Elena Schofield at 424-541-0041 or Voices of Reason in the Valley at gmail.com.